Good Saturday afternoon to you. Welcome to El Paso Primetime. Your hosts are Cheryl Gehring, Florence Schwein, and Louis Science. Florence and Louis are out on assignment this afternoon. In the meantime, Cheryl Gehring joins you this afternoon with a couple of guests that, let's say, make speech their business. Without further ado, here's Cheryl Gehring.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Gehring, and I have two wonderful gentlemen here today on my show that are from the Sun Master Toastmasters, my own Toastmaster club that I have joined, I would say, since February, right, Don?
That's correct.
And it's Don Keim and it's Charlie Stapler.
Right.
Right. And they are here to talk a little bit about the Toastmasters as an organization and why we should join it just for the fun and to improve ourselves. It's also a great networking place, too, I might add.
Oh, it's very good for that.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you two, well, I'll start with Charlie. When did Sun Masters, Toastmasters, that particular club, start in El Paso? And is it the oldest club in El Paso?
No, it's not. It's been here for 30 years. We have two clubs that are older, Border Toaster, which is about 33 years. And then we had the downtown, which used to be the gas company's club. Now, they've been around for over 50 years.
Wow. That's amazing. And, Don, when did you join Toastmasters?
I joined Toastmasters late in 2002 as part of a company club chartering event.
Oh, really? And you were a governor? Was that correct?
This past year, I was a district governor for District 23 Toastmasters.
Right, exactly. And what did that entail?
Well, District 23 covers all of New Mexico and all West Texas from Gavin, Oklahoma, which is in Texas County, Oklahoma, down to Midland and then west to El Paso.
Wow.
93 clubs.
That's amazing. And you probably never want to do that again, correct?
I don't want to do that again. I want to help somebody do it again, but I don't want to do it again.
Right. And Charlie, what brought you to El Paso to begin with, and how were you led to a Toastmasters meeting?
Oh, it's rather interesting. I had an opportunity when my wife retired from the government to move someplace else. We were living in Washington, D.C. area, and we decided this is not going to be the place we want to retire to. So what we did was that on a very snowy day in January, I don't remember the year now, I decided I'd had enough. So I shotgunned about 15 letters into Oklahoma and Texas to the big facilities and asked them for a transfer. I was with the Postal Service as an electronic technician and could move around the country, not fairly freely, but could request a transfer. And I had two opportunities. One was for Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the other was for here. I went ahead and decided to sort of guide my way here because I'd heard some strange things about Tulsa. So I went ahead and decided I'd go to El Paso, knowing full well that I'd be in the minority. But it's fine with me because in Washington, D.C., I was in the minority. So it didn't make any difference to me. So I really enjoyed it. And I came down here and I was looking for a house and I ran across the salesman of this one open house by the name of Ira Batt. And he sat me down, started talking to me, and said, "You ought to join Toastmasters." And so he invited me to Sunmasters. We're meeting, of course, at Friday at 7:30. And I said, "Yeah, that's no problem," because I worked at nights. Went there, and I enjoyed myself so well, I joined. And a few weeks later, somebody quit, the vice president of education, and they needed somebody. He said, "I'll take the job."
And you've only been there how many weeks?
Just a couple of months, I think.
Oh,
it wasn't
okay.
That long.
Mm-hmm.
And I went ahead and started doing the job, and I said, "Oh, this is getting interesting." Started doing other things. And the next thing I know, I was not only president of Sun Masters the following year, but I was also area governor.
Oh, wow.
So and I just kept going, just like the Energizer Bunny. I just kept going and going and going. And the next thing I know, like Don, but a few years earlier, I was district governor. But at the time, the district was a teeny bit smaller.
Yeah.
Not much, but just a teeny bit smaller. It was about 60 clubs, and we were all of New Mexico and El Paso County. Now, since that time, because of a shift in the organization, we added West Texas, and then Don got stuck with that.
And so it goes. Well, Don, why would somebody want to come to Sun Masters or any Toastmaster group? What would they get out of it?
Most people join Toastmasters to improve their public speaking skills. Mm-hmm. That was my motivation when I joined Copper Masters, was to improve my speaking skills. Although at the time I thought I was a good public speaker, but I really wasn't. I just didn't really know I wasn't.
Yes.
But over time, you also learn leadership skills by serving in club organization, also in the district organization. And working with volunteers, that leadership skills are more honed than in a regular management setting, because you have to really work with volunteers. There's no demanding of volunteers. It's all about motivating volunteers.
Correct. And these volunteers could, if somebody, no matter, well, we have all age groups, basically.
That's correct.
We have the early 20s all the way to much older. Seems like the demographic, though, seems to be in the 50s and early 60s. Would you say?
Most clubs in El Paso have 50s and 60s. There are a few with a younger demographic. Mm-hmm. Some company clubs have younger members. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But overall, anybody from 18 to however old is welcome to join Toastmasters.
Yes. And that's at 7:30 a.m. on Fridays over at the Ronald McDonald House across the street from Cathedral High School.
On California Street.
On California Street. I personally have really enjoyed it because I, too, have been a speaker for many, many years, but you can always improve. Plus, being in front of other people who are also speakers makes you bring your game up. You know, if you're just talking to a regular group, like I usually teach horticulture, you don't have too much they don't have too much expectations about your speech skills. But when you're around Charlie and Don, you have to really watch what you say. You have to watch your so's and your ahs, and you're repeating yourself, which I find that when I get nervous, that's what happens. So, Charlie, tell us a little bit about how a regular meeting goes. So a lot of people have what do they say? That's one of the biggest fears, is the fear of getting in front of people and speaking.
That is, I believe, pretty close to the top, mm-hmm. followed by death.
I was thinking rattlesnakes might be up there, though, too.
No, actually.
in-laws, that's for sure.
I know. Actually, public speaking is more feared than death for some reason. I don't know why. Because you might die of humiliation in front of a crowd. But
Don't say that, Charlie.
No, that happens very rarely, if ever.
Yeah.
And it's usually brought on by the person doing something erratic. But that's another whole story. But the reason that you start out in public speaking is to get ahead. Mm-hmm. Now, politicians get into public speaking. People that are in entertainment business get into public speaking. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other people get into it for different reasons. Teachers, we have teachers that come to our meetings so that they can improve being in front not of the kids, but in front of other adults.
Mm-hmm.
And like the PTA meetings, things like that. This is something that they feel they need in order to get ahead, and they're willing to overcome their fear, which is great. I think this is one way to do it, is to get into a small group where you have an almost, I don't know how to put this way, but a very caring, small group that is very good to work with.
I agree.
And it's very comfortable to work with because the faces are familiar And they're not going to shout at you or scream at you or anything like that. They're there to help you. And if you do, there's no problem. You will get ahead and you will do a very good job. And we start out with one or two or even three speeches, and then we have somebody called an evaluator, for each speech, this evaluator actually says to the speaker, this is what you did right. Congratulations. However, if you want to improve, these are some suggestions that we have. But we finish up by saying, this is a great speech. We're looking forward to the next one. Then in addition to that, we have a thing called table topics.
I love table topics.
Now, table topics is when you actually get up, or the moderator, the table topping master, sends out a question and asks a specific person for a response. Mm-hmm. And that person will get up and respond in one way or another to the question. Now, this is very helpful in developing an impromptu type of speaking situation. When you finish with this particular type of speaking situation and are doing it well over a period of time, if you go to a political forum or if you go to a PTA meeting or some other place where you feel it, I've got to say something, you're not going to sit on your hands and do nothing. You'll actually get up and ask a question or make a statement and feel comfortable enough to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason that we do have table topics, is to get people to where they feel comfortable speaking off the cuff.
Very spontaneously.
Yes.
Not putting much thought into it, just talking the way they would, you know, whatever they feel about it. But also, I like table topics because you don't have to address whatever topic is given to you, and you can fly into fancy, and actually it's a great way to learn how to lie on a very big scale.
Well, politicians do it all the time.
Correct, Don?
That's right. Table topics needs to last for a minute and a half. And
yes.
So after about the first 45 seconds, you're out of the topic, so you got to think of something to say to take care of the other half the time.
That's right, and that's why I liked it. But I agree with you. It also takes away that feeling like I must prepare for the speech. As we've seen, even politicians will come up with these canned speeches, and you know they're reading a canned speech, and it loses that life force, that something that will attract and keep an audience. And I think that's what's really great about Toastmasters, is that they, by doing the table topics, you get away from that. It's good to have an organized speech, but it's also great to be able to spontaneously address something. I really find that the most fun part of it. Of course, I have quite an imagination, so it's something that I really like to do. Don't you find, though, Don, that going into that, even though it's scary and it's something that people are afraid of, and speaking in front of other people, it gives confidence, too. It gives a lot of confidence because this particular, I know Sun Masters, and I assume many of the Toastmaster meetings, if not all of them, are very light-handed in their criticism and are more trying to get whoever it is to speak to be more confident in their speaking skills.
That's correct. And the whole purpose of Toastmasters is to increase your ability to speak publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that through building self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So the evaluation needs to be positive, an invitation to improve your skills that you already have and then to enhance the ones that you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
But the same token is to have you get up and speak again.
Mm-hmm.
So the Toastmaster meeting is like a workshop. And basically, there are no professionals. All of us are volunteers. Therefore, we're helping each other. And that's kind of the club environment. As we learn to help each other improve our skills by practicing these skills, we do form a camaraderie that is light and humorous most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. And that's what I think you were trying to touch on, Charles, that it gives you a feeling, you feel safe there. You don't feel like you can put yourself out there and you don't have to worry about being shot down or humiliated. As you said, there's none of that whatsoever. And I really think that it's a fantastic way to build your confidence in front of people and in yourself and your own skills.
What I was amazed about over time with Toastmasters, I've been a member for 8 years, is that I was a member, and then I was a leader in a small role, then I was a leader in a bigger role, and in a bigger role. And you didn't really notice the transition until suddenly you look back and think, wow, I just conducted in a district business meeting. I just conducted a chaired or toastmastered a big event without even hardly thinking about it. Yeah. Where a few years ago, that would have been like an impossibility.
Right. And I feel that as we go into, some of us will go into full retirement, some of us go into a half retirement, half working situation, but we miss that professionalism that we used to have in our previous job. I don't know if that's how you felt, Charles, but it does give you something that you miss when you were in your previous job, that maybe not everything, but that was something I missed, was being able to feel like I could talk to people in a professional way, and this helps you relive that and continue that.
I agree with that, and I had been in the job that I was in now 7 years, and I can't come up to my retirement age, and I said, what do I do now?
Yeah, I know.
And one of the things I did was Toastmasters. I'm a member of three different clubs around the city, and in addition to that, I belong to the National Active and Retired Federal Employees, along with my wife, who is the president of our chapter on the West Side. In addition to that, I'm the secretary for the Navy League here in town. So I do get around a little bit, and I'm interested in political forums, and I was attending one, but the forum somehow disappeared. I don't know. Maybe they'll make a comeback. I don't know. But I went ahead, and I'm enjoying myself now because I am a little more active. Now, Don over here has probably the most interesting job in our Toastmaster Club. He does the scheduling, and he has to do it from week to week to week, usually 3 or 4 weeks at a time ahead of time. And then even then, he might have to go back and revise it from week to week. And that gets to be a little hectic. I had that job in a couple of instances, and I don't envy him one bit of being able to go ahead and master the fact that he's doing this. He's done a great job so far, and we've really appreciated it. And enough people have gotten in and have gotten the experience that they need, and they speak as often as they feel they need to in order to make their goals, whatever they happen to be. Mine right now is just keep on speaking. And eventually I'll get out into the public where I'll speak on other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I hear, do not bang your head against the table. Because I know that is one of the most frustrating jobs because they're volunteers, correct?
Right.
A lot of people say they will be there that week and they have a specific speech or job that they should be doing, which is some of the jobs are timing people, how long their speeches are to see if they qualify for certain awards. Sometimes it is just counting how many ahs and sos and different little things that people say and catch. So people realize that they have this problem and they want to correct it. There's all kinds of like evaluators that evaluate the speeches, the speech givers who give them. You do not have to give a speech every week. However, once you get that schedule down and you send it to all of us and we all know we're supposed to be there, at least two or three don't show up.
Well, life happens.
And then two or three other people show up.
I've found over the years, and I've done this several times now, different clubs. Charlie, I remember several clubs. Actually, right now I belong to five clubs. I don't quite understand that. One only meets once a month, though. So
which used to have 93 clubs, so that's a way you cut down a lot there.
Yeah, I didn't have to be a member of all 93. But the essence there is that, yes, you make the schedule to give people an opportunity to speak as per a schedule. But when life happens, we adjust, and we just modify the schedule as we need to modify it.
I agree.
I quit worrying about the schedule being perfect and people not showing up because, as I said, we're volunteers. We do the best we can. And I enjoy that about Toastmasters. This allowed me, through Toastmasters, to meet a lot more people and a lot more diverse backgrounds than I would in a normal work environment or even a family environment.
I agree. Another thing I like about, an aspect I like about the Toastmaster program, and I've seen it in our Sun Masters Club, is many Spanish-speaking people come to hone their English skills. And I really think that's great. They come in and they are shy about, usually they're very shy about speaking English to other people. And I have seen how these people blossom and start to really take hold of not only the confidence to stand in front of people, shy women that would barely look at you are suddenly up there telling their whole life story in really amazing English. And when they first came to the club, they only mainly spoke Spanish and didn't feel very comfortable with English. And I just think that someday I might like to do the reverse and go to one of the Spanish clubs. There are Spanish clubs, correct?
Well, not right at the present moment.
Right, there's one Spanish club, speaking club in Las Cruces.
Okay.
The Amigo Club was originally chartered as a bilingual club and allowed members to speak either English or Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But that has kind of not developed. But there's only many clubs in town who have Spanish-speaking members who are practicing their English and improving greatly.
Yes, I cannot believe. I think because, as you were saying, Charles, we're not going to bite you. We're going to support you. We're going to try to bring you out. And once they tap into that, they start overcoming their fear of speaking another language, not their native tongue, and they actually, I think, realize how much English they really know, many of them going to UTEP right here as UTEP students and wanting to become teachers are using our club to be able to overcome that hurdle and become English-speaking teachers in our school systems.
And the evaluations will help in the pronunciation of certain words.
Yes.
And help in the pronunciation of certain accents. Because
mm-hmm.
we all have that. If I had to give a speech in Spanish, I'd have the same problem.
Yes, exactly. And we don't even realize that, really, do we? But I like that aspect of it, because I've seen at least two or three so far that have come. And they have really, really improved. So anyway, any other things you'd like to... First of all, would you like to let people know how to contact the Sun Masters Club and be able to get information if they'd like to come down and join us?
Charlie? Well, the best thing to do is just to pop in and just visit us.
Mm-hmm.
We're right now at 300 East California Street, which is right at Stanton. And in the Ronald McDonald House, we meet at 7:30 on Friday mornings. If you want some information about other clubs, there's several ways to get it. I'll be able to give you a number that you can call. It's 833-1406. That's my home phone number. And also, if you go to district23.org, and that is our home page for the district, and it will give you information as to the location in Texas and New Mexico by city, where the different locations of the different Toastmasters clubs is. Also, if you contact through the web, toastmasters.org. And they also can, but you have to go through about two or three extra steps to get to that point.
Uh-huh.
But you get the same information, where to go, what the contact is, what the location is, the times, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a club, we should have a club to get you to where you want to go in the city, because we meet morning, noon, and evening throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to have everybody who would really like to come see us, by all means come see us, and just sit in on a meeting. We won't harass you the first time.
The first time is right.
But if you come there a couple of times, we'll be pushing you to get up there and say a few words. Mm-hmm. And come back and speak a little more and sign here on the dotted line.
Don, you're good at that.
We'll invite you to join every meeting you come to.
Right?
Oh, yes.
But it's an invitation.
It's an invitation, but the first time you sit there and you can get a feel of, is this what I want to do? And try different clubs if you feel. We have, like I said, morning, noon, and night during the week. And I think we have one on Saturday, but it's only once a month. But they're restricted to people that have been in Toastmasters long enough to achieve a certain level. So therefore, that is, like I said, it's a restricted club. Not restricted in the fact that they don't want you, but it would be better to start out from the bottom and work your way up.
Mm-hmm. Plus, meeting only once a month, it's hard to progress in your program of gaining speaking skills whether you don't meeting most often. Weekly is best, biweekly is sufficient, but monthly is pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just wanted to put out a challenge to a lot of the students here at UTEP. This is an excellent way, especially master's degree students that have to give an oral exam. I do know that whenever at New Mexico State University, they encouraged master's degree students to go to Toastmasters to prepare themselves for their presentations. And they even have one on campus over there in New Mexico State. So I really think that, and I don't know if they have one here at UTEP, but we are certainly close enough over there at the Ronald McDonald House to come over and visit us. But that's truly a great way to improve your skills when that time comes for you to do that critical step in graduating, towards graduation as a master's degree student. I tried that for one semester, and I decided it wasn't for me getting my master's degree at New Mexico State. But when they mentioned Toastmasters, I remembered I had joined way back in Carlsbad in the 1980s. And so when I came back here to El Paso and realized I didn't really want to become a master's degree student, I decided, you know what, though? I think I'll check out Toastmasters around here. And a friend of mine, Judy Ackerman, told me about you too and the group there. And I really, really enjoy it. And I really feel, like I said, a family feel to it. Well, thank you very much. I'm really glad you guys are here. Please join us next time that you're in the area of California. And if you're just even near us, come on by and just drop in. We'll let you in and try to see if we can snare you. Correct?
That's right.
Thank you.
Join us next week for another edition of El Paso Primetime, a production of KTEP-FM and copyrighted 2010 by KTEP. On behalf of the staff, have a great week. We'll see you next week for El Paso Primetime.